this week, on a website called Journey with Jesus, there's an article written by Sarah Miles. Now, some of you may have heard of her. She has a feeding program at a church in San Francisco, has written a book about that experience. Some in this diocese have read that book, and in fact, she came a couple of years ago and spoke to us as a diocese. She is director of ministry at St. Gregory of Nyssa Church in San Francisco. And in this article this week, she writes about how spring is coming to her neighborhood, and she goes off to the farmer's market. And while she's there, she runs into some people that she's getting to know. She doesn't know them well, but she has some conversation with them. And one of them, who is himself not a Christian, asks her this question. "I know you must be getting ready for Easter, right? Isn't it soon? So what's the thing to say? Do you tell people, 'Happy Holy Week'?" Good question. How do you greet people? She answers by saying this. "Well," I said, "you could say Happy Easter when it's actually Easter Day, or Christ is risen, if you're hardcore, I guess. But until then, it's kind of confusing. There's a lot of different stuff going on in Holy Week. You could get whiplash." I was taken by that. You could get whiplash. There's so much going on, it's kind of confusing. And I think that is part of the experience of this day, especially this day, but this whole week into which we enter. You could get whiplash. It is confusing. She goes on to talk about this very liturgy where, just as we have done, in one moment we're outside singing and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," just as they did in Jerusalem. And just a few moments later, here we are reading the Passion and saying, "Let him be crucified," and saying louder, "Crucify him." Those contrasts, "Hosanna," to "crucify him." Or on Maundy Thursday, when we gather for that last meal, that meal in which Jesus washes the disciples' feet. But then that night ends in arrest and betrayal, after agony in the garden. And then the week moves on to Good Friday, to the cross, to the horror and violence of that day, to Jesus in the tomb. We gather on Holy Saturday morning in that silence. Jesus is dead. But then comes Easter, where that tomb is empty, confounding all understanding, and Jesus is resurrected. Whiplash. So many emotions, so many things going on in this week. It defies at some level our understanding. It can be, in its way, I think, disorienting. It can even be uncomfortable. But at its heart, this week, this Holy Week, I think shows us the fullness of humanity in all of our complexity. It is connected to every part of our lives as humans. It's connected to every experience and every emotion. It has the best and most virtuous. There are those women we heard about who are there caring for Jesus along the way, and they are there to the end, even at the tomb when all others have fled. But it also has some of our most brokenness and our most sinful. Judas betrays Jesus. Peter denies Jesus. The men flee. There's violence, there's horror, there's death on a cross. But the reality is, at the heart of all this is God's love for us, unshakable, absolutely firm. God, who incarnate in Jesus goes willingly to death on the cross, does not fight with violence, does not hate, but forgives. And God is present. And in the end, love triumphs. God raises Jesus from the dead. Violence, hatred, sin, brokenness do not have final sway. And so it is this week we are invited to walk through the complexity, to confront head-on the emotions, to allow ourselves to be made vulnerable, and to experience that whiplash. Hosanna to crucify, and the full spectrum. And what we do this week is not just remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago. We are walking through the events of our salvation. What we do this day and all of this week is recalling into our present the last week of Jesus and all that he did. And when we gather in liturgy like this, time is suspended. Past, present, future are all caught up and brought together. We are recalling into this time all that happened for Jesus so long ago, which is redeeming us now and into the future. There's a Greek word for this, anamnesis, recalling to the present. Recalling to the present those acts which won for us our salvation. So it's more than just remembering. It's happening for us now in this moment. And so I invite you this week to enter into this fullness, to walk the way that Jesus walked, to experience all that we experience, to go even to the upper room and have our feet washed, which is probably for you, as it is for me, awkward, vulnerable, uncomfortable. But do it. And come on Good Friday, a day of horror, but also a day where we proclaim the absolute certainty of God's love. And if you look closely in that liturgy, we hear about the joy that comes because the power of sin and death is broken in the cross. Come Saturday morning to the deep silence of Jesus in the tomb when creation rests. But come on Saturday night to the great vigil of Easter, where from that silence is kindled a fire, that hope. And we proclaim for the first time Christ risen. And come Easter Day, when we celebrate with great joy the Paschal feast. For I think this week offers us the opportunity in a very particular way to be formed as disciples of Jesus, as those followers of the one who has gone before us. Our epistle this morning, which is likely an ancient Christian hymn, recounts Jesus, who in the incarnation is God humbling himself to take on humanity, God daring to be bound by the constraints of what it is to live in flesh and blood. And our lesson this morning began, this ancient hymn begins with the injunction, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." Come this week, that the same mind that is in Christ Jesus may be in you and in me, that mind of humble service, that mind of love at all cost. Through the ages, people have marveled that God would love us so much as to willingly die, to go through the events of this great week. And many have asked, how is this possible? How can we understand this? And how can we respond? In the 17th century, an English priest, poet, and theologian, Thomas Traherne, offered a meditation on the deep love of God for us in Jesus going to the cross and our response to it. It's from a collection called Centuries of Meditations. And I want to close with an excerpt. He writes, "Lord Jesus, what shall I render to you for your love to me, your eternal love? Why, Lord Jesus, do you love us? Why are we your treasures? What wonder is this, that you should esteem us so as to die for us? Show me the reasons of your love, that I may love all others too. O goodness ineffable, they are the treasures of your goodness, who so infinitely love them that you gave yourself for them. Your goodness delighted to be communicated to them whom you had saved. O you who are the most glorious in goodness, make me abundant in this goodness like yourself, that I may so deeply pity others' misery and as ardently thirst for their happiness as you do. Let the same mind be in me that is in Christ Jesus, for those who are not led by the Spirit of Christ are none of his. Holy Jesus, I admire your love. I admire your love to me also. Oh, that I could smell the savor of thy sweet ointments, even in this Golgotha or place of a skull. I pray you to teach me first your love to me, and then to all mankind. But in your love to mankind, I am beloved. Amen.